It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma is focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on? Schedule release party! Hello, everybody. It's Go Birds number 65 right here. Radio.com, Sports Radio 94 WIP. John Barchard with you, along with James Seltzer, after just putting down the lovely, the very talented Zoe Seltzer. I hear we got a chess sleep tonight, Mr. Seltzer.
Yeah, we got some good chess nappings good. Going on, John. It was strong work from Zoe.
Well, hopefully.
She was clearly incredibly excited about the schedule release. She had to nap.
And you'll inform her of everything that's going on in the morning here. But I know we'll do like game-by-game stuff, and we'll do the stupid win-loss thing, which I absolutely hate and James absolutely loves. But we're going to do it anyway because that's what we're supposed to do, I guess. But I got a gripe already. Before we get into everything, I've got a huge gripe, James. I cannot believe that there are 5 primetime games for your Philadelphia Eagles. I used to get excited about this stuff, but man, that is a pain in the ass. And frankly, the players don't like that. You know, I mean, like one or two, and I think I saw Chris Long explain it as well. And I think Jeff Schwartz had a good article about it. Like 5 primetime games. Come on, man. Like this is 8 o'clock Sunday, 8 o'clock Monday night. There's the Thursday night football in week 4. I guess that's good and you get it out of the way. But I don't know. Where do you stand on the primetime games? I like one or two, but 5 is too many for me.
Yeah. Well, look, there are multiple levels of it. As someone has to get up at 6 in the morning to go in and, you know, you have to stay up late to watch these games, all that stuff. From that perspective, 5's a lot, but I also think that I'm with you, man. Like, I like, it's tough to wait all day to watch your team play. It saps some of the juice out of it. I know there's some juice to a primetime game from a different perspective, but at least from a watching it perspective, it saps some of your juice having to wait all day.
Yeah.
And I get it from the player perspective too. It throws off your rhythm and your clock and all that type of stuff. You want to go out there, get your game done and go back and relax and all that. But it's like one of those double-edged swords, right? You want your team to be good enough, compelling enough, fun enough, and to be in those national games. But then when you are, you're like, it's a lot of late nights, man. A lot of late nights. It's funny, though. You know, John, like if it were the other way around and they had one primetime game, we'd be like, the outrage.
How
this
dare they?
This team is great. How could they possibly they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago? So, I don't know. I'm with you. In theory, it's just, you know, it is what it is.
I think the old me would have thought that way, but I demand 1 o'clock 425ers. You put them everywhere. Like I love
425 is my jam.
Yes,
I'm a big 425 guy.
Same as am I. Because you still get the spotlight because basically everybody's just watching that game anyway. And then
they don't barely do any anymore. It's like three games at 4 o'clock, and two of them are usually fucking awful.
Yes. Yeah, it's usually like Arizona and San Francisco that got, you know, melded into that spot, and that's everybody complains like, oh my God, I can't believe I live in this dumb state where they have to broadcast this game. But nonetheless, I actually think the schedule, and again, we'll do wins and losses and stuff, but is there anything that jumps out at you? I think the beginning of the season is actually great. I think it's set up perfectly through the first 4 weeks, and obviously Green Bay's kind of stuck in there in week 4 in that Thursday night game, as I mentioned, but out of the gate with Washington as you're open at 1 o'clock, which is, again, absolutely love. Don't have to wait at all. You're right there. Then you go Sunday night football against the Falcons down in Atlanta. You come home to Detroit, and then you go to Green Bay. First quarter of the schedule, what's on your mind there, James?
Well, I mean, on a macro perspective, the number one thing that hits me in a very clear, very decisive way, the Eagles are going 16-0, John. That is my first takeaway.
Forgot
when I
to get
saw
that
it.
Out of the way. Yeah.
Look, I think I'm with you. I think that when you look the way the schedule shaked out, and I'll get to the first quarter in a second, but just from a large scale perspective, I think it's really good. I think it's a really good draw for the Eagles. And as you said, we'll do the win loss thing. And of course it's stupid because by the time the season rolls around, you know, one team we weren't expecting to be great is going to be great. And one team in this and that, you know, it always happens. But I do think that the way it's laid out, they only have one spot where there are three games on a row on the road. And then that area after, I know we'll get to it, but the at home for Chicago, bye week, at home New England, at home Seattle. I mean, those are potentially their three toughest games of the season, and they're all at home, and there's a bye week in the middle of them. So I think from that perspective, I think the schedule looks really friendly. I agree with you as well that the first four look pretty solid, home away, home away. You'd prefer that Atlanta and Green Bay were here and you're going to the other two because you want the, you know, tougher teams at home. But I think the way it shakes out is good. I think you figure Washington, get them rolling to start the season, and then at Atlanta on a Sunday night is a fun gauge them early type game. And at Green Bay, I think Green Bay could be a dumpster fire this year. So I'm not as worried about them. Aaron Rodgers scares you. That is a Thursday nighter, though. I guess that's kind of the one thing you worry about with that is going Thursday night on the road to Green Bay. That's a bit of a bummer, and it's a bit of a bummer for all the people who want to go out for it, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who want to go to the Mecca of football.
Yes.
But I do think that that's a solid first four, John.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that you said what I was thinking, which I also believe that Green Bay could be a great dumpster fire this year, and I don't think that's been said enough. But again, it's still Lambeau. It's still away. It's on a short week. You never really like those scenarios, but yeah, I love it, and I would say that is a 3-1 out of the gate type of schedule to me, and I'll put the wins in Washington in 3-0, and then they lose on Thursday night, and it probably won't happen because it never happens the way we predict any of these things. But 3-1 after 4 weeks, what say you?
At the risk of us sounding a little too on the nose, I agree with you. 3-1.
Jesus.
But I actually think they go to Green Bay and win. I know that the short week on Thursdays is tough, but this past season we've seen a lot more road teams play better in those Thursday games. I think teams are getting more accustomed to it, and I just don't think Green Bay is going to be very good, like we said. And I know Aaron Rodgers can kill you, but I'm actually going to give the loss at Atlanta week two. I think, you know, look, last two times Atlanta's got some revenge on their mind. I think Atlanta, you know, will be competitive again. I think they'll be a solid football team again. A lot of tough injuries for them last year. So I'm going to say they go 3-1 with the loss in Atlanta.
We can see that either way. And just so you know, during the season, something new that I would like to do, and I think it's going to be fun, and you guys let us know if it's worthy or not, at Go Birds Pod. I want to look ahead always. So along with the Eagles stuff, I do want to scout these teams through training camp, you know, through the first couple of weeks of the season, obviously. So we're always going to have a look ahead of the first, you know, three or four teams that are upcoming next on the schedule. And I think that's going to be pretty fun to kind of do this season. So the next four, I don't know. It's a mixed bag of stuff. I don't really know what to make of it. I'm not exactly sure what the Jets are going to be. And obviously, Le'Veon Bell, my favorite baby brother, who I wish was here. And people, you know, thought that running backs mattered and that there was no salary cap. But unfortunately, it doesn't work here. And I am still not as big a fan as Sam Darnold as a lot of people are. And listen, in the second year, you know, we've seen it with Wentz. We've seen it with a lot of good young quarterbacks that they just kind of go out and excel. I don't know what to make of the Jets, but I'm sure as shit know that they're going to fuck this draft up. I know they are. And that's why, like, I'm still not sold that there's this big improvement coming from the Jets. So I really like that after a 10-day layoff and then going to face them at home. And then there's three away games in a row, James. Not great, but again, three out of the four of these are 1 o'clock starts. I do like that. Then they go to Minnesota. Then it's Sunday night football with our favorite football team, the Dallas Cowboys. And then we go see Shady McCoy the next week up in Buffalo there. What say you about the next four games on the schedule here, James?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a tough stretch for the Eagles. I think they beat the Jets, and then I think they go into a bit of a stumble. I think they lose in Minnesota, John. I know they've owned Minnesota, but I think at some point the Vikings find a way to get to them in a game that ultimately doesn't have super big implications in it. You think Kirk Cousins might show up a little bit. So I think they lose at Minnesota. I think they lose at Dallas. I think they're going to split Dallas. I think they win at home, but I'm going to give them back-to-back losses here before they rebound in Buffalo. That Buffalo game is going to be a critical game. The third one on the road, they're going to be beat up. I think they find a way to win it before they come home for their toughest stretch of the season. So I'm going to go 2-2 in that stretch, winning the first and the last, beating the AFC East opponents, but stumbling in the middle of it, Johnny.
I'm going to take the opposite approach here. I think that they beat the Jets. I believe that's probably going to be obvious to a lot of people. I'm going to say that Buffalo is the weird one. I think they take care of the Vikings, and they finally get over that hump and beat the Dallas Cowboys there in week 7. And then I think they lose to Buffalo because it's sandwiched right in between. Listen, you've got the Vikings, Dallas, and I know I'm looking ahead here, but then you've got the Bears and the Patriots and then the Seahawks all at home after that. And again, it's your third game on the road, and I have a suspicion that that's typically when a lot of the bigger injuries come up. There's probably lots of dings and guys that you're going to count on that aren't going to be there for that Buffalo game, and it's just going to be a weird one where some random like 20 to 17. The Buffalo will officially be the trap game, and you'll probably hear that all freaking year as well. So I apologize for getting it started early here in April, but I like that anyway. So we're still splitting 2-2. So it's, what are we at now? Because I can't do math.
We're at 5-3.
5-3, as it happens. And then, like I mentioned before, just a couple of seconds ago, the Bears come in Sunday, 1 o'clock. Again, if it's a night game, I feel nervous, but 1 o'clock is great for the Bears. Still not a believer in that offense and that quarterback at all. Like I really think that the Bears' best opportunity to go to the Super Bowl was last year. And again, we're doing this without draft and without anything. I think the Bears fall back a little bit. I don't think that there's like a large advance, and you know, they're the same defense and they're, you know, really killing it out there. And Mitch Trubisky is, we're still waiting for that big, hey, it's his third year thing. Like, I don't think, and I've thought this forever, like, Trubisky is just not a guy that you can go win games with. He can win games with a ton of stuff around him and Nagy being an excellent coach. But I think this is an easy win against Chicago in week 9. I really do. And then they have the bye week after that. The Patriots, I don't know if you know this, James, but there was a pretty important football game, and that was the last time that the Eagles face the Patriots, so that'll be fun. And I believe the Patriots have a bye week coming into that as well, so both teams are fresh at 4:25. That should be fun. Sunday night football against the Seahawks, and I know for sure on the week 13, a 1 o'clock start is away in Miami, and fans of Philly will be taking us down to Miami in the middle of, at the very start of December, and nothing sounds better than going to Miami December 1st, and I can't wait to get down there, and I hope everybody can join us. Fansofphilly.com. I'm guessing right now he's got his deposits open for that. So what do you make of the next four there, James? Bears, bye week, Patriots, Seattle, and then away in Miami.
Yeah, it's a look. I think as we kind of mentioned, when you look at the schedule, the three, you know, if you're going to put Seattle in there, but certainly New England and Chicago are the two toughest teams on the schedule in terms of last year's production. And I think this is a really fun little stretch of football here. And I love that they're all at home. I think from a schedule god's perspective, or AK, whoever that dude is who does the schedule, if he still does it, I think they shine down. What'd you say?
I said his name's Frank, by the way. Pretty sure that's the Frank guy that just does it.
Well, yeah. Frank smiled down on the Eagles, giving us these three at home in a row here. I think they come home after winning in Buffalo. They're feeling the swagger. They see the Bears. Carson Wentz says, I didn't get to play you in the playoffs, so guess what? I'm going to whoop your ass, too. I think they beat the Bears. I'm with you. Bye week. Guess what, John? Tom Brady doesn't forget what happened in the Super Bowl. But neither does Brandon Graham. He strip fumbles again to lose the game. The Eagles win that one. Coming into Sunday night on a three-game winning streak. They're feeling it. Oh, but Johnny, that familiar kryptonite, it returns.
That fucking Russell Wilson, man.
Rusty Wilson, the highest paid quarterback in the league. He eats us up. They lose that Sunday nighter, but then they go down to Miami and they get a home crowd. And they win 3-1 over that stretch, Johnny, over a tough stretch. I'll take three wins there any day of the week. I'm 8-4 right now, Johnny. 8-4.
Yeah, let Kyle Krabs know over at the Draft Network that we are going to take over his stadium down in Miami. I can't wait for that. Yeah, so I'll obviously the Bears win. I'm gonna say the Patriots and the Seahawks beat the Eagles at home, and everybody kind of freaks out there. But I'm with you. I think they take care of business down in Miami. So I think I have them.
At 7-5. I'm 8-4. Is that right?
I believe that's where we're at right there. And then this is beautiful. This is I love this schedule so much. Again, not a big fan of the primetime games, but this has probably been my favorite Eagles schedule that I've seen. I'm gonna say since Chip's first year. Like, this is all set up perfectly for fun, for arguments, for debates, and having every single division game to finish the season is amazing. So it's Giants at home, then a Washington away, Dallas comes here, and then the Giants, again, just 3 weeks later after their first visit in Philadelphia, they head up to New Jersey to hopefully take care of business there, wrap up the season just before New Year's. I also want to bless everybody. There's no New Year's game. There's no there's no Christmas game. There's no Hanukkah. Well, there's a Hanukkah game, and depending on where that's at, but more than likely there will be there. The Cowboys game is a Monday nighter, and the same with the Giants at home, too. No, check that, 4:25. I was reading that wrong, but still basically the same. So we're going to get bucked, and we're going to get Aikmaned in week 16, but I'm still trying to figure out what the Giants want to do, and there's been a lot of rumors, and DJ's last mock draft has sent everybody in a little bit of a wildfire here too. Is if the Giants are taking a quarterback at 6, God bless them, and especially if it's that kid from Duke, because I think that's who he had slated there as the number 2 quarterback that's going on there. I'm not a believer in anybody in this division except for the Cowboys, and I know even then people are still kind of reluctant to do it, even though they looked really good last year. I think they sweep the Giants and Washington, and I think they split here. They lose here because I had them winning away, so the Cowboys will win this one at home, and that makes me – where was I at, James?
You're 10-6.
10-6, so – one more, yeah, 10-6. I love that. I think 10-6 rolling into it and beating the Giants to go win the division is kind of how I see this thing. I know it's kind of the same prediction. I feel like 10-6 is a bullshit. Like, fuck you. Go one way or the other. Make them great at 11 wins, or don't make them not as good at 9. But that's how I ended up at 10-6 here. James, do you you feeling the same thing here?
Obviously not, John, because I won't make a bullshit prediction like that. No, I'm going one higher. I have them 8-4 heading into the last four. I have them finishing at 11-5. I have them winning to beat New York at home. But, Johnny, you're not going to be able to beat as good a coach as Jay Gruden twice in a year.
Oh, man.
You know? So I think they go to Washington. They have one of those all-time what-the-fuck-just-happened type games. They had been rolling. You know, they had just come off winning the Giants, and they have a what-the-fuck-just-happened game in Washington and lose to some quarterback who they signed off the street 3 weeks earlier.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to go, you might not be able to beat Jay Gruden, but I'm pretty sure you can beat Colt McCoy and seven guys who've probably never played offensive line before.
John, Tim Tebow's coming out of retirement, and he's going to win a game with his legs. Then in week 16, they will beat the shit out of Dallas at home. Like, beat them hard. It's going to be an embarrassing showing for Dallas. And then last week of the season, they head up to New York. John, history on the line. The Eagles take care of business to go to 11-5. And to make the Giants the third 0-16 team in the history of the NFL.
I would love that if that happened.
How about that?
Be great.
How about that?
Man, if the Giants go 0-16, well, there you go. You can draft another quarterback then, and God knows what else can be.
John, get ready for the David Gettleman "Nobody is worse than me" tour, baby.
the Jacob Fromm tour, right? The kid from Georgia.
I hope not. I like him. He's really talented. Take Tua. I think Tua's gonna suck. How about that for a take?
You and Joe Giglio. There you go.
I like Lawrence, obviously. That kid is legit.
Overall, though, like I said, I think this sets up really well in the last half. Like, don't you think Week 16 is going to determine the division? Like, that's the game. It's going to be.
Cowboys. 100%. And I think they win it. I think they win the division. And
just for fun, I'm flipping it. So I'll make them lose to Dallas week 7. I'll have them win week 16 just because it's my fantasy and I don't want them to lose the division by my weird scenario. So yeah, and it would be more fun that way if that ends up happening. So 10-6, 11-5. I'm sure that's how everybody sees this when it goes. And you know, there's always like, well, this is the weird trap game, and then they beat one good, great team, and then they lose to another great team, and that's kind of basically what we've done here. But exciting nonetheless that you kind of get a sense that football's just right around the corner. Is it going to be that awful dead period in between, you know, June and July, and then camp will roll up? I'm getting excited again. This is when, you know, the schedule comes out. You've got the draft next week. It's going to be really exciting, and normally we're there. We're live the entire time. We're going to do something a little different. This year, me and Elliot are going to just camp out at NovaCare for Thursday and Friday. We'll be live streaming on Periscope and Facebook and just kind of here and there, keeping you guys updated on everything that we're going on and live stream everything that's happening when picks are made. And hopefully they're made on Thursday night, as we'll get to talk to Howie or Joe Douglas or whoever's there to kind of sit out and talk to us during the press conference and things like that. But want your predictions as well at the gobirdspod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at Go Birds Pod, at James Seltzer, at John Bartrand, at Elliot Shore Parks, who's about to do his first WIP radio show by himself in about an hour and a half. So that's pretty exciting as well. And then obviously this week, the one thing that I always love is that, you know, Howie and Roseman, or that's the same person, John.
Howie and Roseman.
Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman sit down with everybody. And it's, have you noticed this, James, that they basically have the same questions asked to them and say the same answers almost every single year? Like, there's nothing really different that they have, it's best player available. And this has been our philosophy for a while, and building in the trenches and all that other different stuff. I mean, there wasn't any big takeaways that they had said that changed my mind on anything that they've done in the past, 3 years. Did it change anything for you this week?
No, I thought the whole thing was really just an opportunity for Howie Roseman to try out his comedy act.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, just throwing one-liners. I mean, Howie is loving being a Super Bowl champ. My guy, since they won the Super Bowl, is just Mr. fucking hilarious guy up there, just throwing out jokes and, you know, what's up, Howard? How you doing, bro? He's just like, he's something else. No, I learned nothing. I think they're really interested in defensive linemen. That's what they always do. Yeah. That was really my only takeaway. Joe Douglas is really bad at talking. I got nothing.
same. And, the only thing I took away from was how many times that they had mentioned that they do want to sign Wentz to an extension. They'd love to do that and get it done. And we've all kind of had our takes on that. Obviously, I think as now, more importantly, as Russell Wilson has signed his deal, and you're just seeing other things on the horizon. Of course, the Eagles want to sign now. But if I'm Carson Wentz, there's no way I'm doing that. And if he really believes in himself, you got to go out there and be like, hey, man, I'm gonna drop my dick on the field and be like, what's up? And I'm going to throw 35 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. You're going to have to pay me $35 million a year because that's what I'm worth. And honestly, if it's at 10-6 or 11-5, you're going to have to, because that means Carson Wentz has stayed healthy and he's played really well. And the more interesting takeaway, I guess, is, and this was kind of, you know, gone back and forth with, I'm curious what you think, James, about, you know, Ertz saying that, yeah, hey, you know, Carson was injured real early in the year. And then there's all these, you know, different, you know, from Doug saying that, you know, it should take like 3 months to heal. And then he's still like week to week as he got up on the podium during this time, too. And we also found out that Jason Kelsey's a goddamn warrior because he's playing with a broken leg and God knows what else throughout this past season here. But concerning at all that Carson is still dealing with his back and we're kind of staring down the barrel of OTAs here soon.
Yeah, of course it's concerning. Who would say it's not concerning? You'd have to be a moron not to say that it's not at least slightly concerning. Look, I think Carson Wentz will ultimately be fine. I think, you know, I'm expecting a huge year from him, as you and I have talked about. I have, I really believe in the guy. But yes, absolutely. My franchise quarterback broke his back apparently earlier in the season than any of us knew. Thanks, Zach Ertz, for not knowing when to stop talking.
Oh, yeah, he broke that shit in like week two.
And he's played through his fucking fine, man. Yeah,
week
come
three,
on.
I guess, sorry, yeah.
Like, so my quarterback broke his back early in the season, played through it, and now they said it's 3 months to heal. And we're like, what? Since he broke it, we don't know, but like somewhere in the neighborhood of what, like 7-8 months or something like that? Mm-hmm. And it's still hurting? What? What's going on? And even if it's since he rested, since he stopped playing football, it's over 5 months? I mean, no, that I'm absolutely concerned, John, and I want them to take it slow with him. I want to make sure he's fully healthy and all that. But look, again, while I have all the belief in Carson Wentz, I'm also not a fool. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm not concerned about the fact that 2 out of 3 years in the NFL, he has had serious injuries. And I know the ACL, PCL injury was flukish, totally. I'm not one who says, oh, he shouldn't run or whatever. I mean, he plays football the way he plays football, and that was a freak type of way to get hurt. But I do think that that injury and coming back too soon probably or possibly contributed to the back issue, and I don't think it helped the back issue. And I think that trying to come back from the back while still not, you know, only being, you know, like what, 16, 17 months out from the ACL is probably a little bit tougher as well. I just think there's a lot going on in this guy's body right now that isn't awesome. So, yeah, I'm absolutely concerned. Do I think it's reason for panic? No, absolutely not. But I'm concerned, for sure.
Well, you said anybody that didn't have any concerns is a moron, right?
Oh, no. Tell me you don't have any concerns, well,
Sean. I'm a moron, man, because I'm not worried about
how
it
could
all.
You not be concerned at all? Like, how?
Because, James, unlike you, I have studied the body, and I know that in biology.
Oh, okay. All right, Dr. Barchard.
Yeah, I'm stepping into my office. Are you ready for this? I got my lab coat on, and everybody needs to calm down and shut the fuck up, because blood does not flow to your back when it is broken as fast as your legs or your arms, because that is covered in muscle and blood, and it's flowing, and it's there, and there are benchmarks when you break your back that, you know, and Doug wasn't wrong, and he wasn't lying, and there has been no setbacks. If there was like, hey, we checked Carson, and actually it slipped out again.
Well, how do you know? He's still not healed. They said it was going
to
be 3 months or so.
Yes,
it's been well over. It's been almost double that.
No.
It's been almost double that.
There's benchmarks to where it was healed, and I'm sure.
Do you have his medical records?
I don't have his medical records, but I'm not freaking out over it either, because
I said it's not a panic, but you should. You have to be concerned. How could you not be concerned?
I'll be concerned at training camp if he's still not running and throwing. Then I know that there's been a setback. That's why. Until then, like, it does take a lot of time for a back to heal. And guess what? don't do anything while that's taking place, or do as little as possible. Like he even said, he started running a little bit. He started throwing a little bit. All of those are good signs. And I know, like, injury history for Carson alone, of course, I'm always concerned. I'm like, we have so much betting on Carson Wentz. And I don't believe that the fan base has kind of looked at themselves and thought this way. I mean, good Lord, we stood up on a stage, okay, with 500 other Eagles fans during Christmas time 2 years ago, and we said, fuck you, to the two largest Wentz critiquers on the Twitter.com, and guess what? They don't have jobs anymore, so we're still fucking right no matter you know, how wrong or right we all are on Carson Wentz. And for the other same reasons, too, that the Eagles want to sign him now. There's no way that they publicly say that without the intention of like, okay, cool, I'll sign and be like, actually, we can't because your back's fucked up and we just want to take our time. Like, there's been full confidence in this front office. And look, that might be a sell job to cover up any concerns about his back, but I don't really believe that. And then again, just wait until training camp to see if there's any like setbacks there, and if he's not throwing, if he's not practicing and putting on pads, then you start getting a little more concerned about it. But until then, the back takes a very long time to heal. And it doesn't mean that it hasn't been healing. It's just taking, you know, a longer, like, nobody really knows. That's the other thing, too.
Great. That's awesome.
Doctors don't know shit. That's the other part of this. We give doctors way too much credit about what they do and don't know. And if anybody's experienced that in a minor part of this wonderful healthcare system that we have in the United States, large or small, they don't know everything. And sometimes, you know, just like everything, they don't go and try and find answers. They become defensive, like, ah, shit, I spent a lot of money on this doctor. I feel like you're
arguing against your point with this argument.
No, I'm just saying doctors don't really know.
You know what? Carson might never be fucking healthy. Who the fuck knows?
Or that. Yes. Okay, we'll go to that extreme too. But I do believe, here's where I'm on your side. I do believe that we always look for the best in a situation and we don't think of the catastrophe part at all, ever. And that's why we get defensive about things, and that's why we get very sensitive when we talk about Carson Wentz and who he is and who he isn't and all of that. But at the end of the day, he's still going to be here, and I fully believe, again, that he is going to bet on himself, and he's going to tell Howie and Jeffrey, is like, I really appreciate it. I love you guys, and I'm going to go ball out for you, and then you're going to have to pay me even more money than what you're offering here, too. And this is, I guess, is there an amount of money if you were Carson Wentz that you go, okay, like if they offered Carson Wentz $30 million right now, that would be stupid to turn down, right? $30 million for the next 5 years or whatever?
You mean per year, obviously?
Per year, yeah.
Yeah, look, I think that, I mean, if I'm Carson with my injury history, and again, I think he's going to get paid no matter what. So,
yeah, so do I.
Most likely, you know, unless he has a career-threatening injury. But it's hard to turn down. If he gets something close to 30 million or right around that number, I think he'd have to consider taking it. Yeah. Look, it seems all these guys want to be the top guy and I want to be the highest, you know, per year, the highest number, the highest guaranteed. So I don't know. I don't know what his agent wants to do, all that type of stuff. I think that'll play a big role too, but if the Eagles offer him $30 million a year and he doesn't take it, then yes, I think that would be a foolish decision by Carson.
I really just think, though, the only contract comparison for Carson Wentz, it's really Nick Foles, if you think about it. That's the contract comparison for Carson Wentz.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
Hi,
how Elliot. Are you?
Elliot Shore Parks just walking in the studio.
He's all jacked up for a show tonight. Ready to go.
Oh, I'm in here 2 hours early. What's sad, though, is I've been here for an hour. I just realized Barchard was in the studio.
Sounds about right.
and you're working.
What do you think of the schedule, by the way, Elliot?
I think
I'm pissed at the primetime games. I honestly am. I think five is too much.
So my biggest takeaway is last year this Eagles team with Carson Wentz at quarterback struggled to go on the road and beat good teams, right?
Yep.
Early on this year in the schedule, at Atlanta, at Green Bay, at Dallas, at Minnesota, at Buffalo. Those are all, besides maybe Buffalo, extremely hard games. And I think for a team that's going to be gelling, that's going to have Carson coming back from an injury, you could really see a slow start. But the good news is the end of the schedule is super easy. and they should be able to recover from a potentially slow start.
Yeah, that's kind of the conclusion that we came to, too. And I actually like the first four games of the season a lot. I think that's kind of a nice little, you know, it's not too much, but it is enough of a test and kind of see where this
week
team
two
is
at Atlanta. That's like a make or break. Like you win that one, you start 2-0, you're really feeling yourself. You lose that one, it's gonna buzzkill.
Yeah, James has it as a loss. I have it as a win.
I have it as a loss.
Yeah, and I have them. I have them 3-1, but losing in Green Bay to kind of start the season. So.
Yeah, I have them 2-2. Green Bay short week. That's really hard.
I'm just excited we all get to go to Miami in December. So that's.
Oh well, I was already texting with Joe from Fans of Philly.
Yes,
and
we
like
mentioned that too. Yeah.
That is the best trip of the year. But I will say this: Atlanta, shady good trip. Sneaky good trip. It's a cool city once you're downtown. It's an awesome stadium. Primetime game early in the year. You know Carson will be playing. So I think that could end up being the best trip of the year.
Now, did he say, because Green Bay is almost going to be impossible. Like, no one's going to want to travel on a Thursday night, are they?
Well, I think Eagles fans travel everywhere.
Well, we do, no matter what.
And if you've never been to Green Bay, I would think you'd get part of it. Yeah. I think you'd get some people to go.
Okay, good. We'll have to. So Atlanta for sure, Miami for sure, and I think Green Bay we're waiting on, right?
And I think Minnesota for sure.
Oh, Minnesota
and
for
Buffalo
sure.
For sure.
Oh, awesome. Okay,
I think he's
good.
Doing all of them besides a division game.
Fantastic. So fansofphilly.com, @fansofphilly for more information with that. One of us will certainly be out there for all of those away games, and it's going to be a good time, y'all. It's going to be fun. We're going to be debating this fucking Carson Wentz thing forever, till eternity, which is fine because it distracts from the debate that I really want to have with Sidney
Jones.
Oh,
yeah, Elliot, John's not worried about Carson Wentz's injuries, so that's good, or concerned at all. He has no concerns.
And out for you, John,
None.
Really quick. I don't know how long you've been recording, so I don't want to hold you.
But we're towards the end here.
Okay, yeah. So let me just really, really quick. Carson was on the back end, was on the injury report the first time with a back in October.
Yeah.
October, November, December, January, February.
Well, and Ertz said he broke his back, like, you know, a long time ago.
Well, right. Okay. But let's just start with October.
Yeah.
October, November, December, January, February, March, April, at least, maybe into May. So this has been an 8-month injury that when the Eagles first announced it, said would be 3 months and barely brought it up. So I really don't see how you could be concerned, how you cannot be concerned that a
thank you
bone in the back of the franchise quarterback is, by his own admission, still broken.
Yeah, because the human body in the back takes a while to heal.
It's been 8 months.
Okay, this was my argument.
Oh, and he did not agree.
So now you guys are doctors now too. So like,
how, no,
you,
I'm just
you
concerned. Like any
like,
normal
oh.
person who
but
hears
just admit,
that my
you're just
fucking
doing
quarterback
it.
Has a broken back.
You're
still.
Just doing it from blind faith and hope.
Well, it's, no, because Elliot missed Dr. John come in and explain to everybody that the flow of blood to your back takes so much longer. It's why it takes so long to heal because the blood
doesn't
flow that way.
They said it would be 3 months, John.
No, they said, yes, and he hit those benchmarks.
Here's the thing. We can all pretend like we've examined Carson. At the end of the day, tore his ACL in 2017, broke his back in 2018.
Yeah, as an injury concern overall, yes, right. You're always concerned about it. That's what I was saying.
So you're not
late. You're like a fucking child walking into the goddamn middle of the movie wanting to know the plot. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, the plot's not good. I'll say this. It's a horror movie, you might want to say, or definitely a mystery, which are not two words you want with your franchise quarterback.
Fair, and we can debate this on Saturday, which will be on 1 to 3 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Elliot, more importantly, you nervous right now? You're about an hour away to go on the air on your own, all by your lonesome for 4 hours.
So I'm never nervous. Only time I was nervous was the first time on the pod with you guys because you're so goddamn good together.
James, was he pretty nervous on Saturday? I thought he was pretty nervous.
Oh, I was pretty
Saturday.
Nervous.
Okay.
A little nervous.
So he's a liar.
But look, I always think that in this type of situation, if you're not nervous, you're doing something wrong.
Absolutely.
Is my general philosophy. 100%.
Well, here's a good thing. I have 12 pages of takes written out, so I'm ready to go.
All right.
No, oh, my
calls,
God.
We'll have the takes
you will,
for hours.
You will not need 12. If you need 12 pages of takes, something has gone incredibly wrong.
I hope.
James, any final thoughts as we're rolling out here, bud?
No, I like that one. Good luck, Elliot.
Yeah, good
I'm
luck,
rooting
Elliot.
For you,
thanks,
buddy.
I will actually be
tuning in.
Yes, we are.
I have to wake up in the morning, so let's not get carried away. But I'm going
to
tune in.
And hey, if you're listening to this now, me and James are going to be together the next 2 days. Well, James is always there every day. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Midday show. Joe DeCamera will be hanging out. And by the way, brand new to radio.com starting on Monday, it's the Barchard Show. How about that? Daily podcast, just me solo. We're going to be talking about a lot of things around Philadelphia sports nationally, getting into what is going on in the city too. Like, I don't think we do that enough. I don't think we talk about how awesome the city is, the food, the culture, the music, the arts, all that stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And it already has the sexiest logo known to the podcast game. It's got the whiskey,
yes,
the football, the wood.
Everything.
It's beautiful, man.
We are still awaiting iTunes because they're low and slow and they take forever. And I don't fucking understand that. But you can go to johnbarcher.com right now and subscribe on Stitcher, Spotify, and radio.com as well. So for James Seltzer, for Elliot Shore Parks, who's about to bust his cherry, for me, John Barchard, right here on Go Birds number 65 on radio.com, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We'll see you guys. James.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go Birds.
Oh, Go Birds. Go Birds.